We're very thankful this morning to have each and every person on, and especially those who may be visiting with us from that are not members of the Church of Christ or from other congregations among the Churches of Christ. We thank you for joining us on this morning for a study of the Word of God. If you are not a member of the Church of Christ, then you're truly blessed to be able to hear sound doctrine this morning, as we would teach what one must do to be saved. You must believe in the Bible in order to be saved. First of all, you must believe that it's the Word of God, and faith will be developed from believing that this book's right and is from God. The Bible said all Scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction and instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. And the Bible teaches in Romans 10:17 that faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. The Bible also teaches in Hebrews 11:6, but without faith it is impossible to please God. So you must believe what the Bible teaches in order to be one who will be pleasing to God. So the Bible teaches, and Jesus stated in Mark 16:15-16, to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. That gospel is a love story that God so loved you, sent his son. His son then suffered, bled, and died on Calvary, shed his blood, and washed his sins away in baptism. And that same blood purchased his church, the Church of Christ, the only one you ever read about in the Bible. So you must obey that in order to become a member of the Lord's church. You must be obedient to the will of God. And we'll talk more about salvation as well at the end of the sermon. And so we hope you would today consider being born again of the water and of the Spirit. And then to our brothers and sisters from across the nation who have been joining us for our conference line over the last 2 years, we thank you for joining us. If you're new to us, we welcome you as well. Continue to bless you. We pray God would continue to bless you as you seek to grow in his favor. All right. To the Hollow Heights family, we are continuing to pray for each other. Let's make sure we continue to be prayerful as we prepare to return. And we'll talk more about that at the end of the lesson. So don't hang up. I'm going to come back on and talk about the return to the building at the end of services today. Very important announcements to make. And so we ask you to do that. Now, this morning, as we study the Word of God, look at the book of Ephesians chapter number one. The book of Ephesians is written by the Apostle Paul. Of course, all Scripture is given to us from God. But this morning, spiritual blessings in heavenly places. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 1, the Bible says there, the Apostle Paul is writing. He said, Paul, the apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God. So he understands he's an apostle according to the will of God. Then he says, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and the faithful in Christ Jesus. So he's writing this letter, it's called an epistle. This letter is written to the Christians, also known as saints, at the location is Ephesus. That's why when you have Ephesians, Corinthians, Galatians, all these other towns, that these cities that this letter, this congregation was located in, is located in Ephesus. And Paul is writing to the Christians, those who have obeyed the gospel. This letter is written to them. They are called saints in the early church. And today, all Christians who have obeyed the truth are also saints. They don't mean you have a halo over your head, but they're sanctified, set apart, because they have obeyed God and have a relationship. With God, and he says, to the faithful in Christ Jesus. So that relationship to God, the Father, is through Jesus Christ, and the obedient ones to him are called Christians. Verse 2, he said, grace be to you and peace from our God, from God our Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who have blessed us, here it is, with all spiritual blessings, plural, in heavenly places, plural, in Christ. So this is what we want to look at this morning, is knowing that you are only blessed if you are a saint. You are only blessed with these spiritual blessings that come only from heavenly places. It can't come from here on the earth. These blessings come in heavenly places and in Christ. Important to note. They are from God. So you have God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And these blessings come from God, but they are special blessings. There are many blessings in life for all people of the world, such as money and homes and air to breathe and water to drink, shelter, clothing, all over the world. Everyone gets this, whether they want it or not. These are some temporal blessings. But Jesus said in Matthew 5:45, that ye may be the children of your Father, which is in heaven, for he maketh his son, notice this, to rise on the evil and on the good. And he sent it rain on the just and on the unjust. So these are temporal blessings, but these are not what we call spiritual blessings. We're going to look at the difference. These spiritual blessings that I'm talking about this morning, and there are many of them, but I'm going to point out some this morning. These spiritual blessings come from heavenly places only to those who are in Christ. So that's important to know, that you have to be in Christ to get these spiritual blessings. Now, many people talk about, I'm too blessed to be distressed. They're talking about temporal stuff. They're talking about, when they say that, that means that things are going good on their job. That means they got some money. That means what they say, you know, God gave me favor, which means you got a good doctor report. Or they're saying that, you know, things are going well in my life. And things, that's when you, they talk about those type of blessings. That's not what we're talking about this morning. See, and this is very important to note, because the world wants us to believe. This is where you get the T.D. Jakes and the Joel Osteen and the TV evangelists and those of the grace, or saved by grace alone doctrine, and those who believe that all you got to do is believe in Jesus and you're going to get all these blessings. That's not what we're talking about. It's very, very important to know that the world wants us to believe that everyone's going to get these blessings. And they don't have to be obedient to God. They just got to know God. And they got to believe in God. But, you know, that's not what we're not teaching that. The Bible doesn't teach that. That's if you're on the call today, that's kind of way you've heard it said all your life. Most of us have heard it said like that all of our life. But when you want to nail down going to heaven, you want to nail down true spiritual blessings that are in heavenly places, you got to note this. That they're only in Christ. Only in Christ. Yeah. It's hard for Americans and the world to accept this doctrine that they're only in Christ. Well, we say that. We say, I love God. I love Jesus. But Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. See, this is where we differentiate from those who are saints. And those who just are believers. There's a difference. You have some believers that will not receive any of these blessings, but they are believers. Why you say that, Brother Brooks? Well, in Matthew chapter 7, this is where you have to soak this in and become a real believer in the Bible to believe this. And Jesus said, in the end, it's straight gate, for wide is the gate, broad is the way that leads to destruction. And then he said, many will go that way. We don't want to believe that in the world. And many people are going to be lost. But Jesus is the one who said it. And he said, but straight is the gate, narrow is the way to lead to life, and few there be that find it. He said that as well. So he said the few would find the straight and narrow way. And I'm saying the straight and narrow way is where those spiritual blessings are, because they're in Christ. And so Jesus then says, then in Matthew 7, read on, verse 21, not everyone that says to me, Lord, Lord, these are believers, who believe they're getting these spiritual blessings, they're not going to get them. This is what we are, especially in America now. Around the world, it's predominantly a Catholicism where people believe in Jesus, Mother Mary, and all that. But at the end of the day, that's not what we're taught to believe in the Bible. So that's a huge umbrella of Christianity under Roman Catholicism, called the Catholic Church, that has this general belief as well. But then they will honor the Papa, which is the Pope. That's why they call it the papacy. But I'm going to show you who the real Papa is today in this lesson. But these are not, and that's sort of, so the world becomes, you know, soft in their belief in that, you know, as long as we, you know, do the Hail Mary thing and put the cross around our, up and down our chest and all that kind of stuff, you know. And we just kind of believe in God, then we're okay. But please listen carefully. No, I'm not trying to offend anyone, but it's just the truth is the truth. But Jesus is the one said it's going to be few. And I'm trying to say what he meant in verse 21 is that not everybody who called on him, Lord, Lord, would go to heaven. But he didn't do the will of my Father. He went on to tell who would go, those who do the will of his Father. Then he says again in verse 22, many would say unto me, Lord, do we not prophesy in your name, and your name cast out devils, and in your name done with many wonderful works? Now, don't these sound like good people who believe in Jesus? Yes, they do. Good works. Verse 23 is disturbing if you believe like the world believes. It disturbs you because he says, I professed unto these believers who did things in my name, he's talking about, I never knew you. You were a worker of iniquity. And why did he know them? Because they sought these spiritual blessings that they wanted them to come their way, so then they relied on doctrines and commandments of men and listened to what men said. That's why you shouldn't just listen to what Brother Brooks say. If I don't give you a book, chapter, and verse for what I'm saying, then it's not something you should listen to. But if I give you book, chapter, and verse, then it's really God you're listening to, and I'm just the messenger, right? Just the messenger, like I'm saying this morning. He said it's few. Jesus said that I didn't. He said he going to tell them, I profess unto you, I never knew you. I'm just telling you what he said. That's my job as a preacher. So now, if we got that part, then we would come back to Ephesians. Then now we got to find who are these few people and what are these spiritual blessings only coming to them. And I thought I was getting them. But now I'm going to be one of those people in verse 23 which say, I never knew you because you were doing things according to what you believe or what you wanted to believe. Like many people, they just want to believe God. You know, God would never cause anyone to be lost. That's good. I know. That's what we are taught to believe. But the fact of the matter is that God gave us a law to in order to become his children. That law becomes what we call the Bible. We call the Bible the doctrine of Christ. 2 John verse 9, whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ hath both the Father and the Son. See, there's a doctrine or a teaching that we must know in order to get these spiritual blessings that are in Christ. Well, I'm going to give you that in a minute. But we have to avoid doctrines and commandments of men. Matthew 15:8. Jesus said, these people draw nigh to me with their mouth, honor me with their lips, with their heart. The mind, talking about the mind, not the pump, not the chest. That's what everybody growing up, you know, we hear people say, I got the Lord, and I heard that. You probably heard it, and people still doing it who don't know the Bible. They say, well, you know, Lord, know my heart. And they put their hand on their chest. And that's not what he's talking about. He's talking about when Jesus said, they draw nigh or be close to me with their mouth. They're saying, Lord, in Jesus' name, that's close. They honor me with their mouth, but their heart, their knowledge, what a heart has a man thinking in his heart. So we're talking about the brain, where knowledge is stored. So these people have knowledge, but it's not the correct knowledge. In vain, he says, they worship me. So Jesus don't deny it's a worship to him, but then he says it's no good, it's vain. How would you like to know that you are participating in a worship service that's in vain? Well, what would make this worship service or to worship to God in vain. To the people who are listening, who are not members of the Church of Christ, who have never heard his teaching, listen, here's the problem, and here's where we're going to go very narrow in our teaching, Brother Brooks especially, going to go very narrow, because Jesus said, in vain they worship me, teaching for doctrines, notice this time, with an S on it, the commandments of men. So if we say, if I tell you to do something, and I make my own command, which people have done, which is once saved, I always say, well, oh, you ought it right. That's not in the Bible. Pray the sinner's prayer. That's not in the Bible. Accept Jesus as your personal Savior. That's not in the Bible. But that's what Joel Osteen teaches. That's what T.D. Jake teach. These are men and women on TV and everywhere else in the world, among the religious organizations of this world. Denominationalism wants us to buy into doctrines, commandments, and men, and believe that we accept Jesus our Lord as our personal Savior, you go to heaven. That's what Billy Graham and his son is still doing to the world. They come on national TV, they say, accept Jesus as your personal Savior. Pray this prayer with me right now. Lord, I'm a sinner. I accept you as my personal Savior. Are you saved? Go find you a church to go to, a good Christian church. Now, brothers and sisters, friends, that's not the case. God never told Graham them to teach that. It ain't in the Bible that way. Not in the Bible. That's the sad part. Here's what Jesus said. If you die in your sins, well, you can't come. So when we're talking about something very serious here. Now, if you receive the word of God with meekness, then these spiritual blessings will come your way, James 1:21 says, lay apart all filth and superfluity of naughtiness and receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your soul. If you want to be saved, you got to narrow your belief right down to, is there a thus saith the Lord to what I believe? You say, Brother Brooks, I've never heard anything like this. Never heard this before. Maybe your first time on call on my listen to me preach, but I'm going to say something to you that you need to think about. There comes a time when you're really looking for the narrow way of belief, the narrow thinking people. That's when you meet us. That's when you meet a preacher like Brother Brooks. Like, not special about me, it's what I teach. It's narrowly focusing on what God said. If that's what you're looking for, you're in the right place. If you're not looking for that, you're going to be disturbed by some of the things I say because you're not seeking truth. But when you're seeking truth, none of what I'm saying will disturb you when you can read it for yourself, because I'll give you the Bible, book, chapter, verse 4. Now, with that being said, I set us up to talk about who are these people that are in Christ that are going to get these spiritual blessings. What spiritual blessings are Paul referring to? Some of them. I won't get to all of them, but some of them. Well, they're the people in Christ. Who are these people? Well, turn your Bible to Galatians chapter 3 and verse 26. Galatians chapter 3 and verse 26. This is Apostle Paul, once again, talking to the Church of Christ located in Galatia. He said, for ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. Got to have faith or belief in Christ. For as many of you have been baptized into Christ, have put on Christ. So the first point I want to make, these blessings come to those who've been baptized into Christ. So baptism is essential to getting into the place which is called, which is Christ. Getting into Christ is where those spiritual blessings lie. Note this, just because you were baptized before does not mean you are in Christ, because there's only one true baptism. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 12:13, for by one spirit are we all baptized into one body. So what we have today called the Bible is given up to us by the Spirit of God. John 16:13, howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, shall come, he would guide you in all truth. That's what Jesus told the apostles. So the Spirit guided them to write what we had to do today to save our souls. So Jesus gave the command that one must be baptized. Now, baptism, according to the Spirit, which gave us the Word of God, and then Peter repeated, expressed what the Spirit said in Acts 2:38. He said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins. So baptism is for the remission of sins, but it also, at baptism, we're baptized into Christ, and into his body. So then, of course, it becomes, since the Spirit says by one Spirit we're all baptized into one body, then what is that body? Well, in Ephesians 1, there's one body according to the body according to Ephesians 1:23. The Bible says it had put all things under his feet and gave him to be head of all things to the church, which is his body. So listen carefully. The church is his body. The church is his body. Now in Ephesians 4:4, go there. He said, there is one body. Now here, this is what I'm saying. This is a bitter pill to swallow for someone who's not seeking the narrow way of thinking, the narrow, true way, straight and narrow way that people are going to find, that you now must believe in one church, because the body is the church. If you go to Ephesians 4:4, we'll get to that later on in the study of Ephesians. He said Ephesians 4:4 says there is one body. Y'all see that? He said, there is one body. Then he said, there is one Spirit, even if you call it one hope of your calling. Now, somebody said, well, that's just a matter of interpretation. You can't misinterpret one. One means one. We believe in one body, and that body is the church. I just proved that using Ephesians 1:22. Paul said, the body is the church. And then there is one Spirit, that's the Holy Spirit. One hope, that's the hope of heaven. Then verse 5 said, there's one Lord, that's Jesus. One faith, that's the Word of God. And our faith comes by hearing from the Word of God. One baptism, that's the one according to truth. For by one Spirit, you're all baptized into one church. If you don't obey the Spirit of God, then you don't obey, you're not getting right baptism. What I'm saying is that you could have been baptized like me under the Baptist belief system, all good people. Nothing put down on the people. All my family was. That's not what I'm doing. I'm saying the teaching was wrong. They told me I didn't have to be baptized. Well, they said that to those or anyone on this call who grew up in the Baptist faith, but all these wonderful people. No, what we were taught was that you get baptized with just our sound of inward belief. You really don't have to be, but it's a good thing to be baptized. Well, that's not true. So if you got baptized under that system of belief or under that teaching, then that's called doctrines of meaning. Because the Bible says there's one baptism. So if you got baptized before, you just got wet. There's one God. We believe in one God and Father of all. So that's Ephesians 4:4-6. So spend a little time here. So here's the thing. In America, in the world that we live in today, because there are so many different churches all over the world, and on every corner in America especially, wearing the name of Christ, then you have to ask, well, if there's only one church, then which one is it? Well, where are you going to get all your answers from that are going to avoid doctrines of meaning? Well, you got to go back to the Bible. To avoid what Brother Bruce personally, if I want to just make it up, to avoid listening to somebody making up something, then go read it in the scripture. And you go to Romans 16:16, the Bible says, salute one another with holy kiss. Paul says, the churches of Christ salute you. Now, the churches of Christ all over the world, but they must teach the same thing. They don't have to be the church of Christ. They must be teaching the truth. So the one church is known as the church of Christ. In 1 Corinthians 12:27, he said, for ye are the body of Christ. Well, body means church. He said, you are the church of Christ, and members in particular. So that's the church of Christ. So that's what the grand conclusion of what I just went over here was these spirits of blessings that I'm getting ready to talk about come to those who have been baptized according to truth and are members of the Church of Christ. So if you were baptized and became a member of any other modern day denomination of church, then that you didn't get the true baptism, because the Lord is not going to add you to a church that was never his. Man started these doctrines, these churches, not God, not God. And it's a sad comment. There's such wonderful people out there that but you're not going to find God until you're seeking truth for yourself. See, everyone is not seeking the truth. They're not seeking truth. They want God their way, you know, like the Burger King thing. Have it your way. They want God their way. They want to live like they want to live and say what they want to say. And at the end of the day, they don't want to just say they're too blessed to be stressed. Well, you're not really blessed just because you're breathing air. That's mercy and grace God is giving you. He's giving that to the world. the air to breathe, the water to drink. And so let's go back to Ephesians 1 and verse 4, and let's look at some of these scriptures to bless it before I close. In verse 4, he says, according that he had chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. So these people who are in the Lord's church, the church of Christ, who have been baptized according to truth, the spiritual blessing, the first spiritual blessing you must recognize that came from heaven is the fact that we're chosen. We're chosen. This does not mean God chose Tommy Brooks, an individual, and rejected somebody else. That's not what he said. These chosen, this was done before the foundation of the world. God had chose to have a people for himself that would be his children. And the whole church today, as the church of Christ, all people who become children of God, even from the old to now, from the Old Testament now, had to be under a covenant agreement to become children of God. The children of Israel was under a covenant called the Old Testament law. We're under a covenant today. Christianity, those who are under the umbrella of Christianity, those who say they are Christians, can only be Christians if they abide by the covenant or the New Testament. So the chosen would be holy and without blame. God chose them that they might be holy. Holiness is the proof that the church is a chosen church, a covenant people, people who agree to what God has said. These people are special. These people are the people who will be holy, these people who live their life without blame before him in love. God made this decision before the foundation. Spiritual blessing, number one, that they're the chosen group. Peter said in 1 Peter 2:1, wherefore, laying aside all malice, see, this is getting holy, got to put away some stuff. All guile, hypocrisies, and envies, and evil speakings, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. If so be, you have tasted the Lord is gracious. To whom coming, as unto a living stone, a disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God, see that? And precious. Ye also, Peter says, are lively stones, a built up spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. These people who are newborn have been born of the water and spirit. They've tasted that the Lord is gracious. He's forgiven them. They became living stones. They are chosen of God. They are precious. And they are built of a spiritual house, a holy priesthood that offers up spiritual sacrifices. And that's why we serve God today. We worship him this morning. We serve him every day. We worship corporately, and we all come together for the purpose of worshiping him in spirit and truth, John 4:24. And when you notice it, when we are worshiping, we are worshiping according to the new covenant. That's why you heard us sing this morning. Men will lead the songs. You heard us pray. Men led the prayers. You heard us, you hear me preaching the word of God. You notice that we led you into communion, to taking of the Lord's Supper. That's a New Testament covenant. Now, David on the Old Testament didn't have to do that because it wasn't commanded to him. It's commanded to you and I. Jesus said, this you do in remembrance of me. 1 Corinthians 11:23, Paul talks about that. So New Testament worship is singing, not playing, beatboxing, the bass mic, and guitar fiddles, and get fiddles, and drums, and bongos. That's not it. None of the apostles worshiped like that. No Christian in the New Testament used instrumental services, instrumental music in their worship services. They sing, Ephesians 5:18, speaking to yourself in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing, and making melody in your heart to the Lord. So when you look at this chosen group of people that offer up spiritual sacrifices, it's those spiritual sacrifices, we offer up a worship service that's pleasing and acceptable to God. So this is this group that's chosen, So that's an example of New Testament pattern of worship And this is primarily to those who are not members of the Church of Christ, who don't know this, and then those of us who are members of the Church of Christ, it confirms why we do what we're doing. You need to know that so that you're not swayed to believe other things. Now, Paul said, this group of people, chosen people, they're going to live a certain way, holy. They got to put away all these things that Peter said. Now, that's because you're living according to the New Testament pattern, the covenant relationship with God. And that's what you agree to when you obey the gospel, that I will do it. I've made Jesus my Lord and my Master, my Savior. And if that's the case, then as servants of the Lord, then we're obedient to his commands. Now, if you have not been taking the Lord's Supper every Sunday, that you're not in this chosen group because you're not obedient to his commands. All right. Now, back to Ephesians. Paul says, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure. So, spiritual blessing number two, first one is you're chosen when you're obedient to God according to his covenant. Number two, there is this thing called predestination. Again, this predestination means God had predetermined, he had done this beforehand, and it's predetermined, decided beforehand. Again, very important to understand, as some other what they call a TULIP principle, which is a principle of grace doctrine, and rather to keep it simple, the grace doctrine means you're saved by grace alone. You don't have to do anything, simply put. TULIP principle is just a Calvinism type doctrine. Let me just say it. So you have to study all this Calvinism, to know about the TULIP principle. I don't want you to have to worry about that, because I always simply say it with Calvinism doctrine. That doctrine is what you see today primarily in the denominational churches, where we are predestined, or some are saying they were picked by God to be saved, where other people are not going to be saved. That's not true. It's not the person. It's not the person he chose. It was be those who would obey. God gave us free will. God gave every one of us a choice to obey him or not to obey him. That's our decision. He's not going to choose me to obey him. God foreordained a church. What he predestinated was a church that would be built by Jesus and be composed of a children who will be adopted into the family, which is known as the Church of Christ. And so the church itself was predestinated. The builder, Jesus, was predetermined. God would send his son. The act of predestination was due simply to God's supreme will, or sovereignty, if they use that big word, sovereignty. His will was that he was willing to send a Savior, Shiloh, a Savior, Jesus, to save the people. It will be a second Adam. The first Adam came, and then the second one came. The first Adam took us out of the image of God. And then the second Adam would come and put us back in the image of God. That's why, when I get in deep with it, that's why you got to be born again. So your first birth from your mama, you broke water. The second birth, Jesus said in John 3, you're born of water and of the Spirit. So when you go on the baptism and you break the water, that's the first breath of a child of God who's been obedient to it. You got to do that. You got to be born of the water and Spirit, because God's will was that his son would have to come to bring us back to him after man departed in the garden. Now, how are we going to come back? Only through his son. That's why the golden text of John 3:16 is so well known. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish. Now, if you listen carefully to the world, they'll change one word in that verse. John 3:16. Here's how it's going to be quoted. Now, if you're on the call, you haven't heard me before, go ahead and quote it with me and see how you quote it. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believed in him, what? How did you quote it? Now, let's read it. He says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believed in him should not perish. If you said shall, you know you've been taught wrong. Because shall means that's what the world has done. They take that one verse and change it. They take that word shall, should out, and put shall in. And that means all you got to do is believe now. You shall, no matter what you do, as long as you believe, you shall be saved. But you should, when you put should there, it means it's up to you. So God done his part. He would send his Son, and we should not perish after he'd done his part. Man that want to be saved and want these spiritual blessings would understand that Jesus died, shed his blood for us, the remission of sin. It was God's will that Jesus would shed his blood to wash our sins away in baptism, Revelation 1 and verse 5. Secondly, the purpose was to build the church, to purchase the church, Acts 20:28. He says, take heed unto yourself, and on the flock with the Holy Ghost, and made your overseers to feed the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. So that blood on the cross is what's going to save the man when he's baptized, water and blood. When they pierced him in the side, John 18:34, out came blood and water. There was blood and water that came out of the side of Jesus. That blood and water is what we're washed in for baptism. And that same blood then purchased the church. Now, that church then wears the name of the one who purchased her. It's Christ. That's why it's called the Church of Christ. That's not the name of the church. That's the notes who owns it. That's a descriptive phrase. Church of Christ describes who owns it. Who owns it? Christ. Who sent it? God. His Father sent Christ to shed blood as the lamb that will be killed and slain for us. The greater love had no man that he had, that he laid down his life for us. And it shed the blood and washed our sins away. That same blood will purchase the church. Yeah, there it is. There is the predestination portion of it. He predestined that he would send a Savior and that he would purchase his church. What else is predetermined? He's having predestinated us, verse 5, Ephesians 1, unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he had made us accepted in the blood. Now, spiritual blessing number 3 is that fact that when you're obedient, you have been adopted as children of God. And predestinate unto the adoption of children. Now, that came by Jesus Christ, which is the same thing I talked about earlier. When you're in Christ, only through Christ can we get these blessings. You can't get to God. No man cometh to the Father but by me. That's what Jesus said in John 14. So when you look at that, you got to obey Christ in order to get to be called a child of God. Paul said it like this in Romans chapter 8, verse 14. Romans chapter 8, verse 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. When you're led by the Spirit of God, that means you're following the Word of God. Because the Word, the Spirit gave us the Word. As long as you read it and do what it said, then you're being led by the Spirit of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. So, brothers and sisters, and friends and neighbors and visitors, those who are free from sin and death, these people have no reason to fear physical death as a consequence of sin, because they can call God their Father, Abba, Father. We have not received a spirit again to fear. We have no reason to fear. We receive the spirit of adoption because we know who our Father is. Who's our Father? Those who live by the Spirit are going to have obeyed the Spirit of God. And those people who obeyed the Spirit, as I went through earlier, those who are obedient to the will of God, His supreme will, His sovereign will, is that we be obedient to Him. These are the children of God. And they can call Him Abba Father. That's an Aramaic term for the Father that conveys a sense of intimacy. Like, I call my daddy, daddy. They're my daddy, you know. And so when I wanted something, I called, daddy, can I have it? Daddy. But a papa, that's what this word means in the English term. This Abba means daddy or papa. It shows a dependency or relationship to a father that takes away fear. Like something was going on in our home. All my children and my wife, they know the papa in the house is the one going to take away the fear of something happening to them. Father, you follow me? And that's the purpose. That's why you see even in the church, God put men in the leadership. Right? In the home, the papa's in the leadership. He's the head of the wife. He's the father. There's a reason for that. Because when you got a papa in the house, there's this fear, as you said, we just read Romans 8. There's no more fear involved. So sin, the fear of dying in sin, Jesus, God took that away to those who obey Him, which means they're obeying the Word of God, they're being led by the Spirit. Then you can cry, Abba, Father. This becomes very important when you need to pray. You cannot cry, Abba, Father, unless you have been adopted. And your spirit bears witness with the Spirit of God. Now, let's simplify that for you. Go to Romans 8, 16. Verse 16 says, the Spirit, now notice that the Spirit, there's a big S. That's the Holy Spirit. Itself bear witness with our spirit. Notice that's the little S. That we are the children of God. So there's a connection with the Spirit of God and the big S and the little S. They have to come together. That's why Jesus said in John 3, born of the water and of the Spirit. So when you obey God, then you're baptized, you obey the Spirit of God for the remission of sins, and you receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Not that the Holy Spirit goes inside of you, but you know that being obedient to the gift. Now, Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but notice the gift. The gift of God is eternal life. That's what Jesus said in John chapter 3. Except man be born of the water of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. See, you cannot have eternal life until you have been obedient to the Father who gave His Son, and the Son gave the command. And when you obey the Spirit of God, you obey the Word of God, and then you become children of God. Then in verse 17 in Romans 8, notice Paul said, and if children, that's conditional. If you didn't obey, you're not a child. If children, then heirs of God, only those children will be heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Remember how Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you. In my Father's house are many mansions. So that's heirs. He's there with the Father. Like in any covenant or will that a parent leaves to his children, you can't get the will until, you can't get what's in the will until the death occurs. When Jesus died, he went back with the Father. And now we are heirs, which means there's a day when we'll be able to see, to go see the mansion room and get the crown. And that's when we sing the song, we're going to trade our earthly home for a better one, bright and fair. Christ left to prepare a mansion for his children in the air. Yeah, that's it. We're going to receive our mansion, robe, and our crown. That's why we sing that song. So that means we're heirs, or whatever is in heaven, we could have it too. But you got to be a child of God that has been obedient to the Spirit of God, and then your spirit bear witness with his spirit that you are the children of God. Now, there's a little deeper thought on that, in that when you contact the blood of Jesus, notice what you're getting. Every one of my children have my DNA if you test their blood. So there's the Father, sin, the Son, and they're one. So when you're washed in the blood of Jesus, you're technically getting the DNA. That's a deeper thought for you to ponder on right there. And you have to stay in the blood, and that's a whole nother lesson, but I'll give it to you in order to be saved. 1 John 1:5, we have to walk in light as he's in light. Maintain fellowship in him, for the blood of Jesus cleanses. That's a continuing action. So once you're covered in the blood, then that blood identifies you as a child of God, which is personally really the DNA of God. Something to think about. All right, let's go back to Ephesians before we close here. Verse 7. In whom we have redemption through his blood, there it is, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. Spiritual blessing number 4. Redemption through the blood of Jesus. What is the word redemption means? Payment of ransom, deliverance, a liberation, freedom from procured by the payment of a ransom. Freedom because someone has paid the price. In whom we have redemption through his blood, we are free from the bondage of sin. Sin has kind of like puts us in prison, and Jesus has to pay it for us to get out. He liberated us. He gave us freedom from sin. He opened a cage, the bird cage. We were trapped by sin into the cage. Jesus opened it up. But how did he do it? With his blood. It will be the blood of Jesus that will redeem us, buy us back to a ransom, back to God. We are free from sin. If sin no more, we're no more in bondage. Just like, if you remember Old Testament, the children of Israel had to be freed. You know, he put the blood on the blood post, and they said, when I see the blood, I'll pass over you. That's similar to what I'm talking about today. It's got to be all because of the blood of Jesus that we won't be in that bondage anymore with sin. Now, Jesus said this in Matthew 20:28, even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. So Jesus just comes out and said what he came to. His purpose was to give his life a ransom. That becomes that, the redemption. For this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sin. So he's saying the blood is what giving his life became the ransom payment. He gave his life and shed the blood. In Acts 20:28, we find that the blood purchased the church. Galatians 3:13, Paul says Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. And the tree hung on, we know, as a cross of Calvary. It was there on Calvary, on the cross, where the redemption was taking place. He was redeeming us. He was purchasing the church. He would be the one who would give his life on that cross, and that would be the ransom for many. Now, Hebrew writers say, Hebrews 9:22, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. So it had to be a blood ransom, and the blood was the blood of Jesus. Peter said, 1 Peter 1:8, for as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by traditions from your father, but with the precious blood of Jesus as a lamb without blemish and without spot. So redeemed with the precious blood of Jesus, we're purchased with that blood. It wasn't silver or gold. Money couldn't buy this. Just redemption had to come through the precious blood of Jesus as a lamb without blemish or spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world. Now Peter comes back and agrees with what Paul said, but was manifest in these last days for you, who by him to do believe in God, that raised up him from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. Seeing you have purified your souls, here it is, in obeying the truth. See that? the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, that you love one another with pure heart fervently, being born again. That's when it all happens. Not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. So there it is. Number four was the redemption through his blood. Now, verse 7 again, he said, when we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. There's number 5. Another spiritual blessing to come only to those who are in Christ is the forgiveness of sins. Paul says in Colossians chapter 1 and verse 12, Colossians chapter 1 and verse 12, giving thanks unto the Father, which had made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who delivered us from the power of darkness and had translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. And notice here it comes, verse 14, in whom we have redemption through his blood. Here it comes, even the forgiveness of sins. So we give thanks to God because he was the one, the Father, the one who gave his Son. He was the one who made it possible for all to be partaking of the inheritance that we talked about, the street of gold, the mansion, the walls of jasper. He was the one who commended his love toward us, that while we were yet sinners, Christ would die. Romans 5:8. He was the one who would deliver us from the power of darkness, Jesus would be, and to the kingdom of his dear Son. His dear Son's kingdom would be known as the church. So it was our Father's dear Son who shed his precious blood. It was our Father's dear Son in whom we have forgiveness. The last one, in verse 7, is where I'll stop. And when we have redemption through his blood, forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. Spiritual blessings, number 6, that I'm pointing out. The riches of his grace. When Jesus was coming to the world, and John saw him coming, the Bible says that in John 1:1, it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him. Without him was not anything made that was made. This is John chapter 1, 1 through 3. So in verse 14 of John chapter 1, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father. Notice this. Full of grace and truth. So when Paul says the riches of his grace, in Ephesians 1:7, we talk about saving grace. Yeah. He sent the grace to the whole world when he sent his Son, because he was grace on the cross. He gave it for the whole world. But saving grace is to those who are obedient. Titus 2:11. Notice this. For the grace, Titus 2:11, I'm close. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation had appeared to all men. There it is right there. This is saving grace. Came to all men. Everybody, it's universal. Everybody can get it. Teaching us that denying godliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. But it tells us, this grace teaches us that we live a certain way. I mean, you're starting to live the way God wanted you to live, soberly, righteously, and godly. It is present where these are the children of God, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearance of the great God and Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify us unto himself a peculiar people. Zealous of good work. So what a blessing. The grace of God belongs to God. The grace came from God. Jesus was grace on the cross. It's universal. He died for everybody. But that same grace requires obedience, because that grace teaches us. And it teaches us to let go of the things of the world, ungodliness, worldly lust, and then live soberly and righteously. And these become the children who are going to get these spiritual blessings. And so what a blessing it is, my brothers and sisters, to be among the elect children of God, members of the Lord's church. There are just a few listed here, spiritual blessings. There are many other ones, such as prayer only comes to those who have been obedient to God, 1 Peter 3:12, and allow eyes of the Lord over the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayers. But his face against them to do evil. So who this morning wants spiritual blessing? Here's who can get them. According to Hebrews 5:8, though he was a son, yet he learned obedience by the things which he suffered. Being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation. Notice to who? All them that obey him. So how do you obey him? First of all, you got to believe that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Then when you hear that, you must believe that Jesus came and stood among men, lived among men, stood before Pilate, was whipped with a whip, crown of thorns put on his head, beaten, brutally beaten, led to a hill called Calvary, and there he would hang between the two thieves, the twilight of two worlds. He would hang there, suffering, bleeding, shedding the blood according to the will of his Father. And that blood would be what would cleanse us from our sins and redeem us as his children. Do you believe that with all of your heart, that he hung on that cross, that he died, that he was buried and rose again the third day? If you do, you're a candidate to become a Christian. You must hear it. You must believe it. You must repent of your sins. Make a decision today. You know what? I want to be among the elect. I want to receive these spiritual blessings that are only in Christ Jesus. And you can make a decision this morning to change your life. Give your life to the Lord. Be willing to confess you believe in Jesus Christ, Son of God. Number four. Number five, be baptized as commanded by our Lord. Mark 16:15-16. Matthew 28:18. He said, go teach all nations baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. Then the Lord would add you to the only church in the Bible. Acts 2:47. That is the church of Christ. You got to be baptized. So once you're in the church, you continue to receive these spiritual blessings as long as you stay faithful unto the Lord. You must be faithful unto death. And Jesus said that himself. Be thou faithful unto death, you receive your crown of life. But if you're not faithful, you could die in your sin. Jesus also said in John 8:21, if you die in your sin, it's where I am. You cannot come. So if you want to come this morning, and you want to become a member of the Lord's church, hit 5-star on your phone. Because these spiritual blessings are in heavenly places. And Jesus is in heaven now, tenderly calling, come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. You come and ask, and let us know you want to be born again of the water of the Spirit, that you too may be among the chosen, predestinated, adopted as children of God, and call on your Father's Father, Abba Father. Redeemed by the blood of Jesus, forgiven because of the riches of his grace, added to the Lord's church, all of this to avoid dying in your sins. And Jesus is calling you this morning. Perhaps you're a member of the Lord's church. You've been baptized, but you left the Lord. You left the truth. You left all these spiritual blessings behind. But one good thing about God, he hasn't given up on you. Have you given up on him? He's still calling. Jesus is tenderly calling today. Come, come. Come to me. He wants you to come home. Why don't you come home by repenting, confessing your fault? Let the church know you've sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. You want to come back into the favor of God, that you too may take advantage of all these spiritual blessings only come to those who are his children. Now, you know this. All of us know, understand this, many funerals we've been to lately, that all of us are going to die. And if you hear pressed the dying pillar, and you haven't been obedient to God, you won't make heaven your home. Why don't you come home this morning? Why don't you come home? Why don't you come back to the Lord? Perhaps there's somebody who has been living in sin. You need to ask God to forgive you. Now's your time. Hit 5-star on your phone. You want to be baptized? Hit 5-star. You become a member of the Lord's church. You want to come home? Hit 5-star. If you're going through something, you're going through painful situations, you're grieving, or you lost a loved one, or you're in the hospital, or you're sick, eyes of the Lord are over the righteous. Remember this now. His ears are open to their prayers. You need prayer if you need it. Let us know as we gather. We sing the song of encouragement. Jesus is tenderly calling. Come by hitting 5-star on your phone. Let us know.
Jesus is tenderly calling thee home, calling today, calling today. Why from the sunshine of love will thy roam, Father and Father away? today. Jesus is calling me tenderly, calling today. Jesus is calling the weary to rest, calling today, calling today. Bring him thy burdens and thou shalt be blessed. He will not turn thee away. Calling today, calling today. Jesus is calling me tenderly, calling today.